That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more. When it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel.
Again, and good morning and welcome to the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning. I think it's about the 17th of August, isn't it, Kyle?
It's somewhere in that area.
Something like that. I think that's what it is. John, is that what today is, the 17th?
Yep. 17th.
It is, and we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's we got sunshine, but it's a little overcast today, so we'll see how that works out. I don't think we're expecting any rain, but it's a beautiful day, actually, here at the Radio Ranch, and we are abundantly blessed. We're glad to be able to be here in front of the Radio Ranch microphone, and we'll open up the phone lines a little early today, and there's just lots going on out there, and usually we get to talk about current events. Of course, usually there's always lots going on in there. But we'll have the phone lines open here in a little bit. Had a couple verses in Isaiah I wanted to talk to you men about, but we better start out with a word of prayer. So, John, would you open us up in prayer, please?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before you humbly grateful for this time that you set aside for your people, the remnant, on Saturday morning to discuss those things of the world and of biblical proportion, discuss whatever it is that the Holy Spirit brings to our minds and to their minds. And we ask for your blessings to be upon today's program, and that you would guide and direct our thoughts, that they would be of some benefit to your people. Pray for grace and mercy, that you continue to remember that as your wrath begins to unfold, and pray all these things in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Had a The news headline on Fox this morning hit kind of close to home. Idaho wildfires forces evacuations of 16 homes. And that's out where Seth's working, my son. And it's at Sun Valley, basically. 100-square-mile Beaver Creek fire.
Wow.
And I guess it's right up next to towns like Haley and Ketchum. About 9 o'clock last night, Seth sent me a text that said it's a mile from Haley. And that whole valley, Haley and Ketchum, and I guess it's probably what made the news on it, is because people like Bruce Willis
it's rich
Schwarzenegger people's. And all those have homes out there. And so there, it says another 1,000 firefighters were expected to report to the scene later Friday night. And you're basically talking that whole valley, which is thousands of homes. And these aren't, these aren't your manufactured homes either. There's some million-dollar homes. And private, says private insurers have sent private fire crews. They do that to try to keep these, $10 million homes from burning down.
Wow.
And, yeah, I'm sure they're not there right now because, it's Sun Valley when it snows. I mean, that's where the rich go to. They have their little fun in the snow, but yeah, there's a lot of big hubbub people that have summer or winter homes up there.
Yeah. So.
Well, it just goes to show you can have all the money in the world, but right. You can't defend it if God wants it gone.
That's right. That's right. And I want you to know too, our family sure appreciates the prayers for Seth out there doing that and. And keep all the firefighters, if you would, Remnant, in your prayers out there. It's a dangerous job. They just usually a summer job out doing that. So anyway, just that caught my attention this morning when I looked at the news, and we had our own little bit of that, both here at the ranch, not too far away, last year, and down at the church. We've had the fires and the smoke and the evacuations move in. So. Anyway.
Yeah, we've been fortunate this year and had pretty steady rain.
We have.
Well, it's time for it to stop for a few weeks so we get the hay in.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Yeah, we had a little bit. I saw lightning on the horizon last night in two different directions. And of course, we had stars here. But it's a little cloudy. This overcast this morning, I guess we'd call it. Not cloudy, but overcast. So
every job has its... Well, what do you call it? Gravy? Painting had its gravy. You go in and brush and roll walls, it's gravy work, Mm-hmm. Or maybe trimming an outside of a house, gravy work,
You mean here, like when you used to get to drive the pastor across country?
Hey, now that was gravy work. But, other than the long hours, haying's gravy work,
Yeah.
And other than when the tractors are breaking down, sometimes that can get frustrating.
Yeah.
But haying is gravy work,
Unless you're allergic to it.
Well, yeah, there's always things that, that can not be gravy about it, but as far as I'm concerned, is all the jobs that I do out here, this is the gravy stuff, getting on the tractor and either raking rows or cutting it or whatever. Richard usually does the baling part, but it's gravy work, and it's really nice because you get time to get away from the rat race, not that we're in much of a rat race compared to the big city
sure.
life, but you get out there and with your thoughts and everything, and it's kind of nice.
Yeah it is. And just like if you can get horseback a little bit, and we talked about that a little bit earlier in the week, that's a different pace.
Yeah, it is.
And it, I don't understand how it does, but I think it figures into the frequency that our pastor talked about, taught on, that, that seems to be more of, at least for me, certainly a more relaxing pace and time, but it takes a little while to get on it. I remember when we had the cattle over towards Centennial a few years ago, and we got to go over there and ride to round them up, and it was about a 2 mile ride, I think, up to where they were, and that takes a little bit of time on horseback, and relatively speaking, I guess, compared to the busy lives that we all lead. You know, going, driving here, driving there, 70 miles an hour, cell phone in one hand, notepad in the other. I mean, just...
Well, I suppose we could have just, you know, passed each other over time and time while we're riding up there. But, you know, you really just don't do it. You just get beside each other. You ride up to where you need to go. And
you have a chance to talk.
It takes a certain amount of time. And see a herd of elk off to your left. I mean, antelope running to your right. I mean, it's just... That's just the way it was.
It was. It
shouldn't be driving with a cell phone in one hand and a notepad the other.
Exactly. I know. I know I should. A cup of coffee in my lap and spilling it over everything. But it is, you know. And in talking with the remnant and seeing the people of the world, it's that way. You know, we all have our straw to gather. We all have our bricks to make. And many times when we're doing that, we... you know, we forget our duty. We forget what we're here for.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, to serve God.
I was just talking to Brother Chris there in North Carolina last night about just that, how Satan gets us tied up in the things of the world to keep us from the stuff that's important, from seek ye first the kingdom.
Yeah. And it's not that we don't or can't do these other things. We have to do these other things. We have to work. We have to provide for our families. We have to do those type things. But just in our society today, it seems that we get so busy with the stuff that we forget those weightier matters. Well, the phone line's ringing this morning. It's a little early, but we'll sure go to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Richard. This is Edie in North Carolina.
Good morning, Edie.
Good morning to all you guys. I've been reading a book lately. I've been thinking about your D.C. Street Sorcery 2 that's coming up. And I found a book called The Templar Revelation. Now, the people that wrote this book, their thoughts on Christianity was, you know, based on what the Pope says. So it was not, their conclusions were not based on real Christian, you know, theology.
Sure.
And one of the things I found was that as far as the Masons, they claimed that their organization was descended from the Templars, who, or is legend or whatever, that they came, got the Holy Grail from the Temple ruins. And I did a little bit of researching on it, and I thought about Revelation 17:4, where it speaks of the golden cup of abomination. Also, you'll remember that Ezekiel 8 is when God come through there and found a little secret room where they were worshiping all kinds of things.
Right.
And I'm thinking that is the Kabbalah, the Jewish Kabbalah, and that is what the Templars found. And that also the main thing of all this, there's so many things in this, is the Illuminati, the head of the supposedly masonry, is called the Priory of Sion with an S, and that also can mean Priority of Sion with an S. And it seems that that is a lot close to the protocols of Zion with a Z.
Yep, it is.
It seems like that is the Kabbalah that was brought back by the Templars, and that is which being used against and on to hoodwink the guys in masonry.
Well, Edie, I certainly don't disagree with you, and I hear John here agreeing with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I've been studying into the same thing, Edie.
Okay. Well, this book is very well documented. It's like thousands of references that you can, you know, check out to see for yourself. One of the interesting things is that in masonry, you know, they have this thing of the three unworthy craftsmen. Well, some of this information which was submitted was by three guys in business suits who worked for the Queen like in 007 times.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was significant. And I also also think it's very significant that the pastor died, so-called, died naturally under the 33 deals. There was too many 33s. There's too many connections to masonry for it to just been a natural death. I think he was de-weaponed.
That's good. Good point. Yep. Yeah, the more you, I'm working on a series of articles right now on the Jesuits, and there's a lot that leads back to the Jesuits, the stuff that you're talking about.
And also, I just wanted to throw in there, just looking to Jude 4 and Ezekiel 8 and Revelation 17:4.
Well, Edie,
and with that, I'll let y'all go. I just had to get it out.
Thank you, Edie.
Thank you.
Y'all have a blessed day.
Okay.
God bless.
You do the same.
You too. Thank you. Yeah, John, and I think you're finding out, the deeper you dig into the activities of the enemy, the deeper it gets.
There's something significant with what's going on with Egypt right now, too. I just can't put it all together. But Holy Spirit will.
Yeah.
Lord willing.
Well, you know, you hear these rumors your whole life. You know, you hear... Because you originally start off as a babe, you know, or at least most people do, and you hear these rumors, you hear the Illuminati, you hear the Masons, you hear, you know, and you then you hear it debunked, and then you hear, you know, and really, like Edie's saying, and like you're finding out, John, I mean, when you dig into these subjects, those things keep popping up, you know,
yeah.
and then two and two start adding together, and you start realizing that all these rumors that you've heard about your whole life, there's something to it. Now somebody might blow one part of it up way higher than it should be. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, or one lower than it should be. But they really, all these things that these secret societies and all these things have, you know, we've heard about them forever. You know, and they do. They all tie back. You know, well, you know, I've been studying into the Antichrist. You know, and. They all go back. Basically, it all goes back to Genesis.
Well, that is kind of where the story starts.
It is where the story starts, and it does go back there, and it goes back. You know, John said something a while ago that made me look here in Revelation 12 about, you know, the dragon, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, you know, he tried to kill Christ. He tried to kill him as he was born, you know, and then, you know, and he did his best to destroy him on the cross. Of course, obviously, God had a bigger purpose. But then it says at the end of Revelation 12, and, you know, everybody should know Revelation 12 because it tells a story, you know, the new covenant story. But anyway, at the very end of Revelation 12, it talks about the dragon going after, it says, so the dragon was enraged with the woman, and we all know that woman as Israel, gave birth to the Christ child, and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that, you know, that's the basic war. I mean, and most, well, I don't know about it anymore, but it used to be most Christians knew the basic war. You know, Satan against God.
Good versus evil,
you know?
Period.
And it is. And you go back, and you go back to the Kabbalahs, and you go back to the Judeo-Christianity that really came out of Babylon. I mean, it took a long, long fruition to get to where it is today, because like I said, when I was in, Richard, you've said this too, when we were young, we never heard the word Judeo-Christian. It was, you were a Christian or you weren't a Christian. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's been a battle of Esau, Edom, trying to get his birthright back for all these years, you know, by the hands of Satan, trying to destroy the heirs of the promise, the true heirs of the promise, you know, through Isaac. And it is. It's through the Illuminati and through the Masons and through all these things that we've heard about our whole lives and kind of, you know, either rolled our eyes at it or it's over my head or whatever we would say, you know.
The conspiracy theories.
And it's all coming together. I mean,
yeah, it is.
I mean, it's kind of amazing. You know?
It is amazing, and people are starting to see.
And I think that has to do with that revealing of the man of sin that the pastor brought out years ago.
I agree.
Yep. Anyway, exciting times.
What's really interesting is once you start looking into this stuff, there can be one word that'll lead, and then you don't understand it. And you look up that word, and that leads you to something else. And then, you know, you do a search on that word, and that leads you down another trail. But all of these trails are pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are the puzzle being exposed.
It's exciting. I mean,
it is exciting, you know.
We've had internet problems here at the house for the last 2 weeks, and they can't even really even tell us what's going on with it. But so I was at work last night till like 9:30, just researching stuff because you almost get addicted trying to find those pieces to the puzzle.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. The phone number 307-745-5913. If you want to call in and like Edie did this morning, and share your comments. Go ahead, John.
I was looking at that picture that I brought out last Sunday that showed that 9-foot-tall Mary, you know, sitting like a Buddha. Well, if you look at what she's sitting on the Ark of the Covenants, too.
Yeah, I noticed that.
That's a significant point.
Yeah, that's you could almost say that's the seat of Moses. Is what comes to my mind. But it's that sort
of
authority.
And then you see the cherubim angels, you know, bowed down to her.
Yeah, that's their desire for their world order.
Right. I mean, it's similar to what that Pope's throne is, you know, the big white throne. Instead of the throne, they got the covenant, you know, the Ark of the Covenants and Mary sitting on that. And that's another thing that I'm really finding out. There's so much to the symbolism, and the symbolism is everywhere if you're looking for it.
Yep.
Even in modern day companies today, they use their symbols to, I think, to let the others know that, hey, we're one of the group. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, they do that. Pastor had a good series on, or I don't know if it was an actual series, but talked quite a bit about it and brought it out, the esoteric message and the exoteric, and symbolism plays a big part in that. In whether they flash their little hand sign. Because you see that quite a bit, and that's one of the clues mm-hmm. to the puzzle. And part
you guys
of
ever hear of? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say that the enemy does a good job also of getting a little bit of it out. We think many times that you see all these pictures of they're making their hand signs and stuff, and somebody's exposed them. I think a lot of times is they put that out because they like to tell their story. And like you said, John, they use symbolism to let others know that they are with them.
Well, it's a form of them exalting themselves.
It is. It is. And they love to do that.
Yeah.
They love to tell their story. You know, why pull off all this crime of forever and not be able to tell?
Yeah.
You know, and not be able to gloat over it. And so they do that. They tell their stories. In the books, in the movies, and it's just that many of our people just don't have the eyes to see it. Go ahead, John.
I just lost the train of thought.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, you know, that throne thing, you know, if you go back to, I think it's Isaiah 14, where it basically, I think King James, that's where the word Lucifer is, and it's talking about, I think the New American Standard says the morning star or something like that. But anyway, that's what Satan was trying to do back then, is take that throne, you know, and everybody looks at it like he was trying to take the seat of God the Father. You know, what he was trying to do is take the seat of God the Son. You know, Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne, and he wants that throne back, you know. And I think that's why you see that throne on many of the symbols, you know, in the Antichrist world, you know, which
right.
People don't recognize it as the Antichrist world, but it is, you know, because he wants that throne. He wants to be the heir, you know, the man, you know. I mean, and he's doing the best he can to destroy the body of Christ now, you know, all the true heirs that are on the earth now. And the thing of it is, he's going to fail. You know, we know the end of the story, thank God. You know, if we didn't know the end of the story, you know, there'd be something to worry about. But he's going to fail. But obviously, his exaltation has blinded his, you know, he should know that he's going to fail too. But, you know, obviously, he's so exalted in his own mind that he doesn't understand that. But anyway, it is a huge story. and a lot of times, you understand, you know, God will reveal something to you, and then trying to explain it to somebody is real difficult. So
oh yeah, they look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, they do.
Starting to know what Dad felt like.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is the more you look into the Catholic Church and the papacy and Rome and all that, what they tried to do is create that counterfeit religion, and they've replaced Jesus Christ with the Pope is what they've done.
You mean the Emperor from Star Wars?
he looks a lot like
him. Oh, man, he does, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day. Which way did it go? When they made Star Wars, did they say, you know, we got to find the most evil-looking person we can find, so they went to the Pope? Or, you know, is it just the other way around? That's interesting. It says there in Isaiah 14, that the just what you said, in 14:14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and this is the Satan, Lucifer, the Morning Star, whatever you call it. I will make myself like the Most High.
Yeah.
You know? And that's right there, and that's his desire.
Well, he had a throne. He had, you know, he was a great cherub. He was beautiful. He was, you know, and you know, I mean, he got out of order. Mm-hmm. I mean, God probably didn't want to, but God said, "Hey, that's enough. You're gone." You know, whether, you know, when it happened, you know, that's up for debate. You know, I mean, I kind of seem to think it was when the 70 returned, or when the 70 was out there doing their, you know, their fruits, you know, and healing the sick. And, you know, because if you look in Revelations 12 and then you go to Isaiah 14, they tie together as you know, and, you know, and then Christ is saying, I was watching Satan fall from heaven, you know, when they were coming back rejoicing because they had power over devils, over demons, you know. There was a transfer there. Whether that was the actual time it got thrown out, it really doesn't really matter. But there was a transfer of power there, right. You know. And that's why he's ticked, you know. You know, we sing the song that Jesus is coming back and he's ticked. Well, right now the devil's ticked and he's trying to devour as many children of God as he possibly can.
In the limited amount of time he has.
Yeah, because time is short.
Yeah, time is short and it draws short. And I think we can all agree with you, Kyle. You said that, you know, it's hard. You start getting, you get some understanding, you have your eyes open to something, and it is hard to explain it out sometimes.
Boy, it is. You know, even to your wife or whatever, you know, they look at you like, you're off your rocker.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Who's that major TV evangelist that he's up in his 90s now, but his son is kind of taking over? What's
Graham?
Billy Graham and then...
Billy Graham, yeah. So get this. This is another little nugget that you find when you're digging. You guys have heard of Haley's Bible Handbook, right?
Yeah, I got one on my shelf. Should look at it more often.
Yeah. What year is it from, do you know?
I don't know what mine is. It's not here, so I don't know.
I bet Dad has one from before. Yeah. But in 19, I think it was 61, Billy Graham bought the rights to that and removed everything that he had in there, like 30 pages that exposed the Catholic Church and the Roman papacy.
Really? So you want one that's before 1961?
61, yeah. And I've been looking on eBay to see if I can find something, and I haven't been able to, but I'm wondering if Dad has one in his library. But just that is significant. Back then, they knew that they had to keep the truth of the Catholic Church from the people.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Guys, let's go to the phone line. We'll come back to the subject if we can. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard and men. This is Tom in Texas.
Good morning, Tom. Let me pour you a cup here.
I sure need it.
Yeah.
Got to get something to get the brain going.
There you go. How are things going in Texas?
Oh, not bad. I'm recovering fairly well, I guess. Trying to make the better of it. I can move my arm. I still have a lot of pain as a result of it, though. I mean, it'll be a while before I'd even be able to go back to work. Like, you know, I put it to the doctor like this. It was like, you know, about the one-legged man in the contest he was in that he didn't do too well. And I'll be a one-armed man in a boxing match, and I can't really do that job too well either.
I can understand that.
I was thinking that in semiotics, symbolism, simulacrum, all of those actually have a total conjunctive meaning that even that is inclusive and revealing of all the subsequent meanings. You know, it'd be exoteric and esoteric. The image of like Mary and the Ark of the Covenant, the moon. I mean, I see that, and I see where the Catholic Church might well be on that. And then there's also a biblical Revelation 12, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Application of that, and the her man child caught up to God in his throne. Well, God's throne is at the Ark of the Covenant. Maybe what is not, what their esoteric is and is not seen in the picture, but it'd be seen in light of the word that they would be they're the red dragon that is there to consume the woman and the man child as soon as he is born.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's, you got it exactly.
Absolutely.
It's kind of a rule of thumb, when Aaron cast his snake down and it becomes his staff down and it become a serpent. And then the Egyptian magicians copied the miracle. Janus and Jambres copied the miracle, but his snake ate theirs. That there's a higher symbolism, that even the symbols that they use and they claim as their own actually testify against them.
Yeah, it's that old counterfeit thing, and the counterfeit is never as powerful as the real deal. I mean, it can be for a short period of time because people don't know what's real and what ain't, but counterfeit will always be destroyed by the real deal eventually.
Yeah. Well, you think about it, this witchcraft and this magic is real, and they do have that ability. And when you see these apparitions of Mary, that's that, I believe, those false signs and wonders, mm-hmm. And that's going to lead those people to back to that Mother Babylon whore church. He's calling sister church's home.
There's two women in Revelation, the woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and then the counterfeit of her would be the whore of Babylon.
Yeah, and that's what Edie was talking about there in Revelation 17, and how she's dressed and everything else,
But you got to remember, too, in the Bible, the woman is the church. It's represented as the church.
Except for the whore.
Yeah.
That's the whore church.
Theirs is a whore. Theirs is a counterfeit of the real church.
The remnant church, the real church, is the woman with the child. But the other woman, the whore, great whore Babylon, is the church too. It's that false church, that one that's creating the
that rides upon the scarlet beast, right. The same red dragon, and
look at the colors of the papal. It's scarlet and maroon. If you ever look at a picture of the Jesuits and the bishops and all that, it's a sea of scarlet and maroon.
A picture's worth a thousand words, and a symbol's worth a thousand pictures.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, the deeper you dig, it's phenomenal, the symbolism throughout
the Bible, I believe, is, if the deeper you dig, but you use the Bible as the shovel, and, that makes sense. That's, one snake ate two. Ultimately, to that, even what they can project and their best images they can put out are a testimony even against them.
You'll find too that they use the serpent an awful lot, and there's a reason God put it on our hearts to hate them stinking snakes. I'll tell you that.
Or the symbol of the American Cancer Society is two snakes wrapped around a staff, which with those snakes have their mouths open. I've said
that's the American Medical Association is too, isn't it?
I think so. See, that's witchcraft, that's sorcery, where we get pharmakeia. In the Bible, it was the other way around, that the staff ate the two snakes.
Not right.
What's depicted there.
Well,
the medical system,
and don't,
not to make you better, but make you sick.
Yeah, and don't they take what Moses used in the wilderness, the bronze staff, and didn't he lift a serpent up on that? And when they looked upon it, they were healed. But that was from God, and they use similar symbology today, and it has just the opposite effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
see them inside their own matrix they've created, and it's outside, then the Bible wraps around them and reveals them. It's a light, the light chases away the darkness, not the other way around. And you flip the switch, the darkness goes away.
Right.
But fascinating.
Yeah, it's almost like science fiction. It's almost like science fiction when you start really looking into this stuff and how it ties all the way back into Egypt. And, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, they've been at it. They've been at it since the beginning.
Just like Kyle says, when Lucifer was thrown down with the third of the other angels.
Right.
What do you think we're battling?
And you know, it's interesting when you say it's almost like science fiction. What it is science fiction is his story. It is the small h his story, because that's how they've come up with, you know. The
why Christ taught us in parables.
It is. You know, Satan and his people in Hollywood and the Antichrist, they have to tell their story. And they've told the Bible story, bits and pieces here and there, you know, in their movies, in these last few generations. You know, that's been a way for them to do it. They've done it in their, you know, they've done it in their books. They've done it in their comic books. They make a lot of money at it, but that's not the main purpose for doing it. That's just a icing on the cake.
Well, and a lot of people don't dig. You know, they just see the exoteric plot and, you know, get a laugh or entertained out of it. Whereas you know, we're digging. Okay, see, there's symbolism in this, symbolism in the color, symbolism in whatnot, from comic book to you know.
Right.
The movies that they make, the Matrix movie itself is
exactly. I was just going to bring that up. We're living that. Either you take the blue pill or the red pill, and most people don't want to take the blue pill into reality.
And looking at that, sometimes it kind of came to me like, I mean, it's astonishing to me that the makers of that, you know, aren't Christians, because that actually is a very good. Somebody had a lot of knowledge of Scripture and esoteric symbolism in Scripture to be able to put that movie together, from the names of everything and, you know, even more abstract meanings, but they're still appropriate in the story that they're telling. You know, Christ taught in parables to teach us to think of to flip over the money changer table to the exoteric to get the esoteric meaning, the real meaning.
Yeah.
Part of the matter.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep. Amen.
Well, Tom, we appreciate you joining us this morning. It's
great hearing you all.
And we appreciate the emails. We look forward to getting those during the week.
Sure. Thank you. I appreciate the prayer cloth. Prayer cloth. And I'll get that to her.
All right. Well, good. Glad you got that.
Thank you.
All right, Tom.
Appreciate
God bless
you, man.
Have a great weekend. All right.
You too. Bye-bye.
And we're, what, about halfway through the program this morning, I guess? Yeah.
Well, went fast.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, like you said, John, it's an exciting subject. You know, I mean, you brought up the church several times. You know, just a thought provoking, it's the reason why I have it is because some of the stuff that going back. But you go back before the church, and you go back to, well, you know, we all know that God the Father divorced his bride, the house, house of Israel, but he didn't divorce the house of Judah, and it went on to say that she became more even of a harlot than the house of Israel did.
Right, he thought she would see that, or he puts out, didn't you see the abomination?
So in other words, she's a whore. She's worshiping other gods is what she's doing. You know, and he sends and the big story is he sends her to where else? Babylon. You know, and what happens in Babylon? The things that Edie brought, the Kabbalah, the whole basis of Judeo-Christianity.
Right.
You know, the whole basis of the learned, you know, the book that we have, you know, the learned elders of Zion or whatever that. I mean, the whole things came out of Babylon. You know, and then what is the big whore writing? She's writing, you know, what
beast?
A mystery Babylon is writing the beast, right? And that's the way it is, you know. I mean, and that's before there was an actual church. But I think that's where it was, the origination of it, the whole where Satan formed it, where it all came out of the same place that Nimrod tried to do it in the beginning. And that's you know, and that's the, you can call it the New World Order, you can call it whatever you want, you know. But the basis of it is, you know, and now, like you said, the church is so apostate, and you have the, you know, basically the Antichrist sitting in the Catholic Church. I don't even like to call it church, you know. I mean, but anyway, yeah. I mean, it's a huge story. It's an exciting story, and I'm sure 2 weeks from now, I'll even have different views than I got now, because it's kind of where the story goes. It just
think of the two witnesses that Revelation talks about. I always wondered what that was. I wonder if that's Judah and Israel.
I don't know. It's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. I know they have power to, what, stop the rain for 3.5 years, just,
yeah,
like,
but then
just like Elijah
thrown
did.
Into the street.
Uh-huh. For the whole world to see, even. So,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
but then they come alive again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a I won't say a common understanding, but I've heard that reference made before, John, that's Israel and Judah, that it represents
the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why.
But yeah, just Revelation. The more you read it, the more God
right.
God will show you just one word.
Who is it? Somebody
start to think, but you got to get in that proper mindset first.
Yeah, somebody mentioned talking to some, maybe it was you, John, talking to somebody here a few weeks ago, and said they were Christians, but boy, they were scared to read Revelations. Was that you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know,
and there's something to that. I mean, Pastor used to say, you know, you get these guys that just wet behind the ears, and what do? They dive into Revelations, and and there's something to that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because
yep.
you
right. There needs
probably
to
true.
Be understanding, yeah. and so many of our people don't have understanding, and the Anglo-Israel message is one of the most important keys to understanding Revelation, because if you don't know who, you know, Revelation's full of, we said it today, symbology. If you don't know who they're referring to,
you're building the house on the wrong foundation.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
It's not going to work, and that's where most of this world, you mentioned about all the fancy books on the Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
I think in one of your scriptural insights,
yeah.
and Revelation's the same way. You know, there are books galore,
the apocalypse. You know,
and TV series and movies and
oh yeah, Left Behind series and all those
and all
yeah.
that. And they're all they have a sprinkling of truth, but they're all false because they're built on the wrong foundation. A couple things in Isaiah that kind of jumped out at me, those little gems, just in reading Isaiah this week. In Isaiah 29, it's a warning to Jerusalem. In Isaiah 29:10, it says, "For the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers." And so God has put spirit of deep sleep, it says,
mm-hmm.
you know, and of course this is building up, and then a little bit later over in Isaiah 44 we see it again, basically the same thing.
Well, how do you wake up out of that slumber though?
Well,
you have to be born again.
Exactly, and that's
the spirit of God.
That's what it is, you know. In Isaiah 44 he's talking about the folly of idolatry. And he says, "They do not know," this is 44:18, "nor do they understand, for he has smeared over their eyes so they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot comprehend."
Right.
And, you know, and this is in relation to, they don't understand this, what's going on, that they make these idols with their hand and they worship them, you know, and we do the same thing today. But it's God that has blinded the people because of their sin. And then again, what, like you said, John, so the people are blinded, they're asleep. What do you do about it?
Yeah, but unless you're properly baptized and receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, I don't think you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear.
And that's one of the reasons why. That's how the world is. But in Isaiah 52, he gives the...
wake-up call.
He gives the wake-up call. Awake, awake. Clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy
Amen.
City. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you are sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. And there's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The Redeemer who redeems without money but with his precious blood. The very first part of Isaiah 52, clothe yourself in your strength. I have Galatians 3:27 written beside that. Why is that, Kyle?
Because that's how you clothe yourself with Christ.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So we're told how to wake up and what we have to do. So let's flip over to Galatians 3:27 while we still have a few minutes this morning and see what Galatians 3:27 says. Galatians 3:27, there it is, it's even highlighted. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. See how important the Old Testament is? Because it introduces you to who the people are, but it introduces you to Jesus Christ and says why he had to, you know, if you don't understand, you know, how can you understand redemption and what he had to, what he came and did without seeing who he came for and why he had to. And then you read the rest of Isaiah 52, and he tells the story of why he had to sin, why God had to send Jesus Christ. But that is how, John, it's exactly what you said, that you have to wake up. How do you have to wake up? Well, one, you have to realize, was it the red pill or the blue pill that you were supposed to take? And you have to realize that you're asleep and that your eyes are blinded, as we read, and that you don't see things the way you're supposed to. What was the song? Blinded by the lies? You know? It's exactly how it is. We everything that is of the world that's out there, like in the Matrix that was mentioned by Tom, is a lie. If it's not built on this foundation of the Word, it's all a lie. Your 401k, it's a lie. You know,
well, what you look at is what have the enemies of God done? More than anything, they've kept us from that truth of baptism.
Salvation, yep.
But
right.
If you look at who brought that heresy into the world of sprinkling, it was the Catholic Church.
And it was very early on. I don't have a...
Yeah, and reality is, by doing that, they may have lost some people in the Reformation, but they won the battle because they got people from the truth. If they can keep you from that truth of baptism, they win.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
you realize, listen to this point. This is another rabbit trail thing. But in 1776, before 1776, when our country was founded, people of the Roman Catholic faith were not allowed to hold a position in the government. Did you know that?
Hey, how about this? Guess who the first Catholic, who was the first Catholic president openly?
Pope, you mean?
No, the first Catholic president of the United States.
I don't know. Oh, John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
And when that happened, see, that's why he's still a god. He's still an idol. I mean, you know, they want this to be Camelot, too, this past 7 years that we've had mm-hmm. under the abomination. But it just ain't so, you know. But
I told you the other day, well, you were there at a scriptural insight I was doing. You know, I told you, you know, there's actually a certain sect of people that when John F. Kennedy got shot in the head, they thought he was going to be the beast that got wounded in the head. I mean, because they understood that kind of stuff, you know. I mean, they might not have understood what was taking place, but they understood that there's evil and there's certain signs that go with this evil. Mm-hmm. And the Catholic Church has been, if you just, you don't need to have your eyes very wide open to understand that is it, you know.
Well, when you look,
the Church of Satan,
right?
Synagogue,
when you look at how they allow the child pedophilia,
yeah.
When they allow, and that's by design, when they allow their priests to molest boys and girls and children, and they allow it, and you cannot deny that they allow it. They'll move a pedophile priest here to here to here to here, and they pay money out the wazoos to cover it up. You cannot help but see that is a, you know, that they embrace that. They practice that lawlessness. They practice it as a whole.
That's not to say, though, that there's probably millions that are deceived.
Absolutely.
In the Catholic Church.
That's why Isaiah said, awake.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Come out of her, my people. And that's kind of what I feel like we're supposed to be doing right now.
It is.
The more you can show that.
Well, what's the opening line there in 2 Thessalonians 2? I mean, it's like,
great apostasy.
Well, the Apostle Paul says somewhere in there that, you know, do not be deceived.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when he gets to the Antichrist. I mean, and that's exactly what we're talking about. You know, you can call them children of the devil if you want. You know, Jesus called them that, you know.
Yeah.
And you can call them the Catholic whatever, you know. I mean, they abstain from meats. They call a priest a father. I mean, they go against the word. I mean, there's all these signs that are just obvious, not even getting into the other stuff,
right,
you know, that we've kind of talked about today. Just the obvious stuff is they are who Jesus is talking about, who John the Baptist talked about, and who Paul's talking about. And it is the children of the devil. And here's the kicker, is forget the Catholic Church, all the Protestant churches now out there, guess what they're doing? They're calling these Antichrist people God's chosen people. I mean, and it might have started in the universal church, the Catholic Church, whatever you want to call it. It might have started there, but it has seeped.
It's grown.
It has seeped into every denomination.
Yeah, seeped.
You know?
It's tidal waved.
Yeah, but you look.
It's tidal waved them.
You look, there's something called the Jesuit Oath, and you can believe it or not. I tend to believe it. It was entered at one point into the congressional record and then ripped out several years later. Imagine that. But anyways, reads like the Protocols of Zion, but one of the things that those Jesuits were to do was to infiltrate the Protestant churches to the point of their pulpits, mm-hmm. ingratiate themselves with them, go along with their doctrines, and when the time is right, start introducing the false doctrines. And if you look at what's happening in the churches today, and now, in the last days, which we believe we're in, that those terrors are becoming bold and brazen. They're just boldly proclaiming their pagan beliefs from generations ago.
You're right. Yep.
They are. They are. Again, Isaiah 52, awake, awake. Wake yep. up.
Come out of her, my people.
Right. And that, you know, that is what our pastor preached. That was, I think that was one of his driving forces, was to try to wake the people up, to make them see.
He knew the importance of baptism, because right, without that Holy Spirit, you won't see.
Absolutely. Right. It all goes back to that, don't it?
It does.
It does. Yeah. It all goes back to that baptism.
It does. And I think that's why the next thing it says, clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Where is our strength? You know, our strength is not in the sword.
It's in Jesus Christ.
Our strength is not in the Mossberg 500 with the extended tube, although those are nice. It is. It's in Jesus Christ. And we're told there to clothe ourselves. And how do we do that? We're baptized into him.
Which is, you know, that's, well, the Shibboleth test. I mean, that it's so obvious when you run across a pastor or a preacher or even some of their, you know, followers or whatever, it's so obvious with that test on baptism whether they're of God or not of God. Now, they could just be lost still. I'm not saying they're not, but that test, you know, it's like you just spent 2 hours talking about the kingdom of God and you didn't even tell anybody how they enter. You know, that's a clue. You know, I mean, how can you talk about the kingdom, or how can you talk about the body of Christ, and they talk about the body of Christ constantly, but they never tell you how to enter it? You know, hello? You know, I mean, it's like a light's going off. They're working for the other side.
Even the ones that understand immersion, they don't understand the significance of it and the importance that it has to be done properly. I mean, if all you had to do was go underwater, when you go swimming, you'd be baptized. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If there's not repentance and it's not done in the name of Jesus Christ, then
yeah, it means nothing. You know, yeah, you're right.
So they've won on a lot of fronts. They've won on the front of getting people to believe that sprinkling is baptism, and they've won on the front of getting the churches who believe that immersion was important not to understand that it's salvational.
Right, right.
They're not going to win, though.
No. Hey, stay tuned for tomorrow. You won't believe the ties to the to Washington, D.C. and Rome and the papacy.
Well, speaking of tomorrow Sunday, we're going to have church services at the La Porte Church of Christ, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. And we'll have probably a scriptural review of the news. We kind of flip a coin sometimes, whether we go with that or a scriptural insight and study. And Kyle's brought some real interesting ones there. And And Kyle, they have been, you know, from zombies to the Antichrist. They keep me taking notes when I'm watching, and so we appreciate those. Those have been really good. So you'll either have a scriptural insight and study or a scriptural review of the news, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, and that's 11 Central and noon on the East Coast. So you people out there get to sleep in or get your running done first thing, whichever.
Depends on where you live.
Depends on where you live. That's right. And so
you really want to challenge yourself. Read Revelation and Daniel and look at the similarities.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. So we...
What you need is two Bibles. You can read Daniel and Revelation.
Yeah.
And compare them.
Yeah, so bring your two Bibles to church with you tomorrow. You can join us at the website.
That's a topic for another day.
There you go, at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. So you don't even have to leave your home. If you have a computer and the internet there, we had some Christian brethren down from Canada last week, and they stopped by the office on Monday and were telling us how they do that. They live across the street from each other, and boy, when it's time, they're running across with their bagel and their coffee and getting together to watch church. And we know many do that. So if you are in the area and you want to stop by, we just ask that you let us know. So we know that you're coming by, and I think we've got some friends coming up from the Springs tomorrow, so we're looking forward to that. So we'll start out with a little 25-minute scriptural insight and study or review of the news, and then John will be there to do a welcome, and that's what he's saying, is stay tuned tomorrow. You're going to hear a little bit more of what he was talking about today, about the Jesuit and the Washington, D.C. tie-in. And so join us there, and Shannon and I will have some good music for us. And who's up for communion tomorrow?
You are.
I'm back on me for communion. Okay, I'll bring a communion message tomorrow, and then we will...
It's my day off. I get to wear the casual shirt tomorrow.
There you go. Instead of the... So
even back then, that in the inception of this country, it was good versus evil. There were those that were...
It's always
God-fearing men, and then there were those that were evil.
And it's that way today.
You can see it. You can see it. I mean, even back then, though.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it's always been...
Well, we can see it
that
anyway.
Way.
Yeah. And there was those back then that had eyes to see, and they knew. And they warned the people, but they didn't listen.
Absolutely.
Right.
And what's God do when you refuse to believe the truth?
That's his deluding influence.
Absolutely. And boy, hasn't he done that.
He has.
Yep.
He has.
But praise God, we're living in exciting times.
We are.
Yep. Well, we thank you, Remnant, for joining us this Saturday morning for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. The pastor put this together years ago, and I sure like it at this hour. It used to be at 5 a.m. in the morning.
That was before my time.
Yeah, so we sure enjoy getting together live here at the Radio Ranch. We've got a little bit of work to do this morning. We're going to rake a little more, try to bale a few more bales of hay, and then we're going to kind of take the rest of the day off and get ready for church tomorrow. So we hope you can join us at church again, scripturesforamerica.org. When you go there at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning Mountain, just click on the live video stream. And of course, it'll also be out on the internet, or it's on the internet. It will also be on the audio satellite and on the shortwave, and it'll be at this frequency here. So thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you at church tomorrow morning.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high.
Keep on understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at